Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A federal appeals court has ruled that a pregame ban on prayer violates the First Amendment. I am Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. We're going to be talking about this decision on Faith and Freedom with Holly Mead. Well, a federal court of appeals, this is called the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. It governs the southeastern part of the United States, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, ruled regarding a Florida case that a ban by the High School Athletic Association that banned pregame prayer was unconstitutional. This is a great decision. Here's what happened, Holly. The Florida High School Athletic Association, it governs these different athletic competitions, and they make rules. There were two Christian schools that ultimately qualified for the state championship, and they both agreed that they wanted to have prayer at the beginning of the game. The prayer was at the Citrus Bowl. That's in Orlando, and that's where the annual Citrus Bowl for college sports football is played every year. And that's where this outdoor stadium game was played between the two Christian schools. But the Florida High School Athletic Association said, no way, you can't have prayer at this game, even though the teams wanted it. They're both Christian schools, and they banned it. As a result, a federal lawsuit was filed, and the Court of Appeals ultimately ruled that this ban by the High School Athletic Association was unconstitutional.
But they're saying that the stadium was city-owned, and it's a state agency, and they violate it because it's a state-owned microphone. Isn't that a bit bizarre?
It's a bit bizarre because, you know, equal access happens, like in the student Bible clubs, on public-owned school facilities.
I mean, obviously they're renting.
That doesn't turn it into an unconstitutional problem.
Right. I mean, they're renting the stadium, right? I mean, if you were to have a Christian concert, that's acceptable. So why are they saying it violates free speech?
It's ridiculous. And you know what has happened is these athletic associations, we encountered this in Virginia, and we got some things reversed in Virginia, particularly regarding homeschoolers. But these athletic associations, it's a little bit tricky because they, on the one hand, say, well, they're just private associations. They're private associations, and so therefore you can't sue them because they're not the government. That's their argument whenever they get sued. They're not the government. Like, for example, the NCAA, they'll argue, we're not the government. You can't sue us. But the problem that you have is these athletic associations actually control these public and private groups that are participating in the sports.
Even when Christian schools are playing.
Even when Christian schools are playing, because they're playing in certain leagues that are equivalent with the other secular schools.
But if both schools agree, let's have prayer, what's the issue? Nobody's being forced.
Well, what happened is they said no. And it caused a big stir because these were two Christian schools, the top of their game, and they were competing for this championship, and it was a big day because it's in a big football stadium, much bigger than they're used to playing in. Mm-hmm. It's in the Citrus Bowl in Central Florida, this big outdoor stadium that seats about 60,000 or so people when it's full, maybe more, I don't know, but it's a very large stadium. And they said, no, you can't do it because it would violate the Constitution. And what they're referring to is the so-called Establishment Clause, that if they allowed you in a city-owned stadium and using a city-owned mic, that you would violate the Constitution by, quote, establishing a religion. That's absolutely ridiculous.
What about the First Amendment, Matt, that protects the rights of students and teachers at a private Christian school to pray before a football game?
Well, and that's the whole thing. And so what happens here in these in this particular association and other associations, there actually was a case that went to the U.S. Supreme Court regarding an athletic association or school association. And They ultimately concluded that there is likely what's called state action. Therefore, the Constitution applies. And therefore, you could have a constitutional claim against one of these private entities. Why? Because it is made up of representatives of the different state colleges, universities, and so forth. In this case, state high schools. And they are so intertwined that even though it's a private corporation, it has essentially become a government-controlled entity. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you see some of these controversies about they stop these prayers or these celebrations, and then there may be a lawsuit. That whole issue of the extent of which the Constitution applies to them is still being litigated, but this is a good decision. So what we have, this goes all the way back to 2015, when the Florida High School Athletic Association banned prayer, caused a lot of controversy. In February of 2017, a little less than 2 years later, a federal judge sided with the Athletic Association, and then that got appealed to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals reversed it, which is a good decision.
Yes, and we praise God for that, you know, because you see what's happening with our young people. You see what's happening in our schools. You see what's happening in our cultures when we become more and more hostile toward religion and continue to take God out of, that's not what the founders, you know, wanted. And when we continue to take him out, you see the results that are happening that we're dealing with now.
Yeah, you sure do. You know, the founders would never have thought something like this would happen under the First Amendment. Because if you go back and look at the First Amendment was adopted by the same Congress whose first act was to authorize a paid chaplain. This is the same Congress that actually put the First Amendment out for ratification by the states. Mm-hmm. And that same Congress, their first act was to make a vote and pass that they wanted to have a chaplain open up every service of their legislative sessions and that they would pay the chaplain from the federal money mm-hmm. to do that. They wanted a paid chaplain on staff to be able to do that. And so until this day, we have paid chaplains.
They recognize the importance of prayer.
Right. And so we have, and I mean, there's some great chaplains up in the Washington, D.C., and our ministry, Faith and Liberty, has had a long standing relationship with these chaplains. They lead Bible studies there for people on a regular basis. They're there for counsel, but they're also there to not only deliver prayer, but to also oversee the prayer. Because if you go all the way back before there was a United States, between the revolution that we won and the time that we actually agreed on the Constitution, during the interim period, that's where the whole debate of the Constitution came about, and it was starting to disintegrate. And unfortunately, it was a very critical point, and it could have gone one way or the other. And what ultimately is the linchpin that held it all together? Franklin, Benjamin Franklin,
yeah,
the person that some people call, you know, the least religious. And yet Benjamin Franklin stood up and gave that amazing speech mm-hmm. about how God governs in the affairs of men, and we cannot build this house if we just assume that we no longer need him.
Absolutely.
And he said, you know, during the revolution, we gathered in this very same place on a regular basis, because our lives were at stake, and we sought God's help and intervention, and boy, did he help.
Yeah.
And now that we're past that, do we think we no longer need him? Mm-mm. And so he says, I implore you that we need to pray. And so that the session stopped. Some people were literally in their carriages taking off to go home because they thought it was over. No consensus. And others went to them and said, hold on, stop, let's stop and pray. And so they did. And they went to another place, and they prayed for 3 days. Hmm. And that was the turning point. And they came back, and that's why the Constitution was ultimately founded. It was based upon prayer, and that's why prayer is a part of our opening sessions. That's why they thought the very first act that they ought to do is to have a chaplain. And that's why they also urged the president to have a national day of thanksgiving and praise, which ultimately President George Washington was willing to do. And that's why we celebrate Thanksgiving. And so here we're having this game. How does a short prayer to begin a game establish a national religion? It doesn't. And so this is a great decision. Continue to visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, as we continue to fight for faith, family, and freedom, and to advance the sanctity of human life. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.